It's thought to be the UK's first gay marriage of a Muslim. Jahid Chaudhry, also known as Jay, met Sean Rogan in 2015. They fell in love and they got married last month. Images of them sharing a kiss at a ceremony have gone viral around the world. But Jay has revealed that he's been the target of abuse. People spit on him in the street. We'll hear their story now. I began by asking Sean to tell me about how he met his partner.
Well, we first met on the 21st of March, 2 years ago. It just started like I was leaving a friend's house and I was walking down the street and I seen him crying on the bench. And like, it was inside, he was screaming inside for help, but he wasn't screaming outside. So I just, normally, I help anyone. So I walked past and I sat next to him and I asked him, "Are you okay?" And he wouldn't reply because I'm a stranger to him, he don't know me, so... And I was like, "Are you okay?" And he wasn't implying. I was like, "You can speak to me. I'm harmless. I don't harm anyone." And like 10 minutes later, he started coming around asking me. He asked me if I'm gay, like, and I said, "Yeah."
Jahid, why were you crying?
The day before, I took an overdose because of what's going on, being gay and Muslim.
Can you let me inside your head a little bit more? What was the pressure like? What were you thinking when you were sitting there on that bench crying?
It was the battle I had to face inside my head. Battling one side being gay and battling one side of being Muslim. And that fight, I just couldn't take anymore. I just wanted to end my life.
What was the fight? I'm trying to understand.
The fight was... in my head, whether I'm gay or whether I'm Muslim.
But you knew you were both.
I knew I was both, but once my religion says you cannot be gay, but I knew I was gay.
And so how old are you, Jahid?
I'm 24.
So you were 22 back then?
Yeah.
And were you trying to suppress your sexuality?
Yeah, because I didn't want to be gay.
And did that mean that you didn't go out with guys or...
No, I kept myself to myself.
That's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
And you wanted to end your life because of it?
Yeah, I just wanted to end it because I couldn't handle it anymore.
And so here's Sean that night walking up to you, a complete stranger. Did you share that with him?
I did. That time I was actually desperate for someone to come and help me, but I was silent crying. And as soon as he came in, it was like a breath of fresh air. I was praying for someone to come and help me, and then he just came like a guardian angel.
And little did you know, Sean, that he'd tried to take his own life just the day before.
When he told me, I was actually quite shocked.
What did you say to him?
I said to him, you can talk to me, I haven't been through the same situation, but I've come out to my parents, and like, it's not easy coming out to parents, even if it doesn't matter what culture you're from, it's still hard to come out to your parents. And I was like, I said to him, I'm here for you. I know you don't know me, but I'm here for you, and I can give you support as much as I can.
I ended marrying him. Stranger. Stranger to husband.
It's an incredible story.
What are the chances?
Yeah, it's an incredible story. What did that mean to you, Jahid, when this stranger was reaching out to you now, helping you?
I just felt like finally someone actually came and talking to me. Because then I was praying in my head for someone to help me. So I just think he's like a godsend, really.
Had you had to go into hospital after the night before, or did someone find you, or what happened?
Yeah, I had to do counselling. I had to wait in the hospital all day, do counselling. Then I just left the hospital by myself.
My goodness. Can you also tell me what the Muslim faith says about gay people, in your view?
Well, since I was brought up Muslim and to follow the Muslim way, follow the steps of Muhammad, I was taught... Well, it's in the Quran that you cannot be gay and Muslim because it's written there in black and white. And just that being in my head, thinking like, I'm a sinner, I'm doing some sin, I've got to stop myself. That's why I tried so hard to stop myself from being gay.
And when you say stop yourself from being gay,
yeah,
what does that actually mean? Does it mean having sex with men, or does it mean even being attracted to men, or what did that mean in your head?
It's the things, the stages I've been through trying to so-called cure myself, such as I had friends who were homosexuals, so I thought maybe I'm getting the influence from them, so I got rid of all my friends, and then I went to pilgrimage where I could pray to God and ask him for forgiveness and to ask him to help me. And I left the UK for 6 months. I went abroad where nobody knew me, tried to cure myself by going to mosque teachers after mosque teachers, doing prayers on me, doing black magic, so-called, on me. But I was so desperate, I would try anything. I even took medication and hallucination drugs to cure me, basically.
You had black magic on you. What did they do?
It's too much to go in details, but let's just say weird stuff.
Do they chant around you? I've got this notion of what black magic is from some films I've watched, but...
They put me into a room and they chant, basically. They do prayers on me. They tell me to drink this water that's been blessed, take this medication, put God in your heart. Just lots of different stuff.
And what did that feel like when you were in that room? In your words, trying to cure yourself.
I was that desperate not to be homosexual, I would have tried anything. So I was willing to do it.
What about your parents? What have they taught you in life?
They taught me life to respect elders and be kind and follow my religion.
Have they ever suspected you were gay?
No, because my parents come from a traditional Bangladeshi country. So most countries like that don't have the education about homosexuals. So when I did come out to my mom at first, she didn't understand what was going on at all.
And this is before you had met Sean?
Yeah, this is before I met Sean.
So you went to your mom and you told her?
Yeah, I did.
What did she say?
She says, is there anything I could do to help? Because I don't fully understand what's going on.
And how did that feel?
I felt alone again because I didn't know how to make my parents understand what I'm going through because they believed it's a phase and I will soon grow out of it. As soon as I get married to a woman, I'll just grow out of it.
And were you tempted to at least attempt relationships with women?
Yeah, I've attempted relationships, but they didn't work.
Let's come back to that time then, Sean, at the park bench. So there you are. You reach out to Jay and you say, look, you know, I'm here for you. What happened next? What happened that night?
Basically, I asked him, I said to him, I said, you need cheering up. And he looked at me, but then he never said nothing. So I said, you do need cheering up. So I stood up and I put my hand out to him and I said, come with me. And he was like, I don't know. He was like, just come with me. And then after that, I just took him out to the cinemas and that's what it started from there.
And did you instantly fancy him?
At that time, no, because I was there to support him, I was there to help him.
It was different for me though, wasn't it? Because you didn't fancy me, but as soon as I seen you, it was like love at first sight. Even though I never believed in any of that things. They're all Disney stuff and film stuff. But as soon as I met Sean, it was love at first sight.
Wow. That's a nice thing to say, Sean, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very lovely.
It better be, because you married me.
So after the cinema that night, you know, I'm wondering how it went to the next stage. Who made the first move? Who offered a phone number? Who offered to meet next?
It was Jay. I left him. I've dropped him back home, and I left him, and I was walking home, because I didn't far from where we lived.
And you said if I never need to talk, I'd go and message you. So.
Yeah, and then he phoned me while I was walking home and then we were speaking from there and he goes, I'd like to go on a proper date with you. And then it went from there, then like we just went from there.
And were you meeting in secret?
I was. I had to meet where I know it's not a lot of people because I get quite anxious.
Were you out in your own community, Jay?
I wasn't out fully, but people did suspect. That's why I got harassed and assaulted.
What kind of harassment did you get?
Being called pig, and if I walked down my street and someone noticed me, they would instantly spit on my face.
Spit in your face?
Yeah, spit on my face, because I'm haram, because haram means, like, I'm a sinner. And because I'm gay, it's for them, for religious people, it's worse than being a rapist and it's worse than being a murderer.
And did that happen often?
Every time, every day.
Come on.
Yeah. Every day. I used to walk out the house, say to go shopping, go to the corner shop or something. Anyone, obviously, my community was full of Islamic people. Anyone, even small little kids, I don't even understand. Even small little kids would spit on me on my face. Elder ones would spit on my face, call me haram. A pious man walking past called me haram.
What's that do to you inside?
I felt... I don't know. I just...
You do. Try to say it out loud.
It made me feel ashamed, and I hate being tortured like that. And I don't think I deserve to be treated the way everyone treated me.
You know, the fact that on the streets of Britain, these in this day and age, that someone has a community spitting in their face on a regular basis... is astonishing, actually. No matter what someone's religion is or isn't, no matter what someone's teachings is or isn't. And you're telling me that this was on a regular basis, from old to right down to young children were doing this.
Yeah, that's why I had to leave the community and move to another safe place where no one knew me.
They spat at you, they called you a pig, called you haram. Someone actually threatened to throw acid in your face.
Yeah.
What did they say?
There's loads of been hate comments on social media and all the wedding videos going out, and there's loads of comments saying such as, you shouldn't have been born. When you were born from your, when your mother gave birth to you, she should just burn you in the fire. And when I see you in the streets, you don't deserve to be called Muslim. I am going to burn your face, throw acid in your face.
This is after your marriage has gone public?
After our marriage. As soon as we came back from the honeymoon, it just blew up.
Why don't you go to the police?
Because they're just comments.
They're not.
I just don't want to make anything bigger because I'm...
Yeah.
One way, I'm scared. I don't know.
I hear you. But when I say they're not just comments, what I mean by that is that, you know, those people who are doing that on you are criminals. That is against the law. To threaten to throw acid in someone's face, that's no different from someone saying, I'm going to put a bullet in your head. And you deserve protection.
I do.
You see, I wonder, Jay, if because of what's happened to you over a sustained period of them spitting in your face, and then that now escalates to them threatening to throw acid in your face, I wonder... And I don't know you. Oh, my goodness, I've been speaking to you for 15, 16 minutes, that's all. But I wonder if you actually slightly doubt that you deserve protection. And you do. Do you see what I mean?
I understand. I'm still facing this battle, even after I'm out and proud, because I believe, I know this might sound really weird, but I believe I need to be punished. I know it sounds just out of the blue, but I feel like I need to be punished.
For what?
Just who I am.
Now listen to that out loud. Doesn't make sense, does it? You're the victim here, Jay. Are you getting many death threats and threats to attack you?
After seeing that first few comments, I just stopped seeing the comments. So I don't really know, and I don't want to know. I don't want to read any more comments.
but it's just not Muslims, it's everyone. It's everyone from
It's
different...
all religious.
Yeah. Because they've mentioned my name as well.
What have they said about you, Sean?
They said to Jay, like, if I don't get you, I'll get your partner.
And are you considering going to the police, Sean?
I have, because the BBC's actually told us we have to contact the police.
You know, it's not my role. It's not for me to tell you to do something you don't want to do. But I guess I'm just sitting here like another citizen, and I'm hearing of two people who are getting death threats, and their security and their safety is being threatened. And you know, what any normal, reasonable person would say to that is, take it to the police and let them hunt down these idiots who are doing it to you.
But it's like Jay said, we don't want to make it worse, because if they find out that we reported it, that will probably make it even worse.
Are you still frightened?
I'm scared. I have to look back when I walk down the street. I have to look over my shoulder.
And you, Jay? Are you frightened?
One way I'm frightened. One way I really just don't care. As long as I get my message out there, I don't care what they do to me. I've just had enough. I really just had enough. If they're going to do something, let them do it. The harder they make me fall, I will rise higher.
Have you had much support from other Muslims within your community?
Yeah, there are a few Muslims that support me. Like, my family's 100% supporting me from day one.
And you, Sean?
Yeah, I have my family as well, just like my mum and my sisters.
I'm just genuinely sad that this has happened to you and is happening to you. Let's get on to happier times then, because part of your story, we heard part of your story there of how you met, you fell in love. Who proposed to who?
Jay posed to me on my 19th birthday.
Had you been thinking about it for long, Jay?
I couldn't let him go. I had to keep him somehow. Because since he came into my life, everything seemed to be easy. Everything seemed to work, and everything's going all right. He's the one who gave me freedom.
And was there any doubt when you were asked, Sean?
No, I was quite shocked, to be fair.
Like, you have any choice.
He's just so surprising. Like, he took me by the canal and he sat me down and he was saying these questions like, can I keep you forever? Can I have you forever? And I was like, yeah. And then, but I didn't see the ring, but he had the ring down like by his hand, but I didn't look down there. But then when I turned my head, I seen it. And then he's like, will you marry me? And I was just like, in tears, I cried.
It's being reported that you are among one of the first UK Muslims to have a same-sex marriage.
As far as we know.
Does that matter to you? That you're setting a precedent? That you're breaking some type of first within your religion?
It's not more about breaking, it's more about opening doors.
What's the feedback been like?
The feedback's been good, because there's quite a few gay people out there who actually came to us and said, we read your story, it was heartwarming, and I'm going to come out to my parents.
And what about the future? What are your dreams, Jay?
That one day everyone's allowed to be whoever they want to be. But it's mainly about education, though, especially for parents such as my parents and other religious parents, because some of them haven't really been educated. So for all the religious people out there, it's more about understanding instead of judging, and educating instead of misunderstanding.
And what would you say to those people who view themselves as decent people but feel that what you're doing is against the Quran, is against your religious faith, is against God's word? What would you say to them?
This is a new generation. This is a new century. It's time to soar. It's time to come out your shell. It's time to be who you are. Your religions will never change. They'll always be in your heart, but you have to come out and be proud of who you are.